welcome to our next Session Zero. I am Victoria, and today I am joined with Braz.
Hi, everyone.
Do you want everyone to call you Braz, or do you want them to, like...
Braz is fine.
Braz is good. Braz is your adoptive name.
Yes.
Yes. So, Braz and I have known each other since I've known Vin. So, that is 13 years... Wait. Okay, so tell me a little bit about your character coming to the table.
Okay, so my character is Sorek Noderil. He is a male astral elf, and he is a paladin.
Mm-hmm. Very otherworldly, right?
Very much so. He's an astral drifter. So basically, when he did his assessments when he was 16, mm-hmm. he did okay, but not as good as others in his class. Therefore, he would have been sent to the mines. However, his father, having been childhood friends with one of the higher-ups, pulled some strings and got a favor done. Mm-hmm. And instead of being sent to the mines to work, because he showed some aptitude for physicality...
dare you be physical? That's terrible.
I know. But, you know, virtue of the sword and all that.
Yes.
He got sent to basically a way station on the astral plane, mm-hmm. as a guard to train and guard the country against interplanar
beings
and evils that could,
sure.
That could come through from the astral plane.
So tell me one thing. You are playing a paladin.
Mm-hmm.
What is your oath?
Oath of the Watchers.
Oath of the Watchers. I love that. All right. So we are actually picking up in the Astral Sea, on the Astral Plane. And yeah, this has been your life for almost 120 years, right? It's been a long time that mm-hmm. you have been guarding. And you are... on your way station, on guard duty, walking along the edge, as you always have been. As you've done every day for as long as you might not even be able to remember. And in one moment, you've actually can see far out in the distance, there is a castle rampart that looks like a castle wall that has an edge to it. And it looks like a big chunk that was taken out of a castle in a long ago battle. And it is floating through your vision. And it's not really directed at your way station, but it's actually gonna pass pretty close to it. And as you're looking at this going, what is that? Your commanding officer sees it too. And he walks over to you, and he says, anything could be on the other side of that wall. Jump to it, and send up any flame into the atmosphere, and tell us if you're okay, or if you're in danger.
Aye, sir.
And very naturally for you...
I go and I do it.
Yeah. So you just sit there, and you reverse your gravity, and you start slowly floating toward that rampart. As you are floating toward it, you see coming over the top of the wall a giant centipede that looks to have done the same thing you did, and it reverses its gravity right at you, and it now is floating toward you.
How big is it?
It's a centipede, but it's maybe the size of you.
Oh, okay.
And it's just floating right toward you right now. Looks like it's coming right at you.
Got it. See, yeah, that's you. So
that's what we'll do.
So yeah, I have my sword and shield out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being ready for anything.
Okay.
But don't know how much you still be in zero gravity.
Zero gravity. Uh-huh.
So I will sacred flame the centipede.
Okay. To roll to hit, or am I have to do a dex or something?
That is a dex save.
Oh, I'm going to say that's disadvantage because he has no gravity to pull himself.
I mean, it's a DC 11, so we're not talking much here.
Actually, I don't even have my dice. Give me a moment.
We're recording here, though.
I know.
What?
I have my dice.
I have my dice. I was prepared.
Dex save. DC 11?
Mm-hmm.
Makes the save. I don't know how. 12.
Oh, blasted.
Blasted.
So,
still coming at you.
So still coming at me? All right, well, now I'm I'm taking a swing with my longsword.
Yeah, so I would say you probably are holding and waiting for it to come to you. It's pretty far distance. It's kind of one of those, like, ridiculously long chicken, like, it's like, you know, the suspense is killing me kind of situations.
All right, how long do I have until he gets to me?
I would say you'd have 3 rounds before he's within melee distance to you.
All right, so if that's the case, let me see what else I can do here. See, I'll do up a Shield of Faith on myself.
Okay.
So, I get an extra 2 to my AC.
Okay.
So, my AC is now 20.
Okay. Anything else you want to do? You have two more actions you could do.
I'll try to Sacred Flame them 2 more times.
Okay. So, we'll roll. Ooh, success. Failure.
Okay. He will take 1.
I was thinking he's going to go down.
Yeah, no. My dice aren't going to allow that. They need to go through the ringer first.
After this, we're going to have a nice sit-down chat with your dice. Give them a nice cleansing bath, and then we're going to move on.
Yeah, I need something over here.
Okay.
So, yeah, he takes one radiant damage.
1 radiant damage. He's... I mean, he's a centipede. He can't get angry. He's just, like, floating through space. So, this is when you guys collide. And he comes up and he smacks hard into your body. And his ridiculous amount of legs try to wrap around you. And he will attempt to bite you.
Okay. Very well.
At this point, let's see what we got here. Oh, that's a 17 to hit.
My AC is 20. Is it, does it have any pluses?
That's the plus.
All right. So then no.
All right, fine. So I thought I had you at the 17. So he goes to attempt to bite you, but you're able to block him and kick him off with your shield. Your turn.
All right. I'm going to attack him with my sword. So that is a unnatural 20.
Oh, clearly hits.
Okay, D8. So that is going to be 9.
9 damage?
Yeah.
You're able to chop him right in half.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried to grasp you, but you just knock him off, slice him in half like sushi, and the 2 pieces of him keep passing you.
Okay.
And you are still headed toward the rampart.
Yep.
Excellent job.
Keep on keeping on.
Keep on keeping on. That was gross.
A little bit. A little bit.
It takes maybe about another 20 seconds or so before you wind up having the opportunity to shift your body and land onto the ramparts.
Okay.
Is there anything you want to do when you first get there?
I can't do that. No, I'm good. I'm just gonna survey and be ready for whatever comes.
Okay. So, you're gonna survey, and you are walking around. You don't see any other creatures, but in the wall of the ramparts, there is a door. And it is in sharp contrast to what the stone looks like. You'd imagine like a dilapidated door, maybe not even anything there anymore. But there is this beautifully red painted door. And it is shiny and beautiful. And as you are kind of just investigating, looking around, and you catch this door, within a second, you see a glow coming around the cracks of the door. And the door swings out, and through it comes the largest man you've ever seen. He is in full plate, shield, sword on his hip, helmet. He walks through, and you see on his shield, he has an emblem that is essentially not etched, but hammered into the actual shield, and it looks like a hand with an eye in the palm of it.
Mm.
And you know from your lore that this is the god Helm. And in a flash, like, you understand that not only is this isn't just another paladin. This is him. This is the god. He takes off his helmet and shakes out his hair and looks at you and kind of smiles. He kind of says, "Hello, old friend. You've never met this man in your life."
So I would kneel and kind of put my sword up, kind of like reverse it, like stab it into the ground.
Okay.
And kneel before such a being.
Mm.
I'm thankful to be graced by your presence.
I appreciate your honor. Please stand and speak to me as a friend.
Only by your command. And I stand up.
And you can tell from his demeanor, he's grateful and he has this kind of like knowing smile on his face. And he kind of says to you, like gestures kind of like, "Let's sit." And on the castle wall, you're able to kind of awkwardly, and you're like, "What am I doing here?" You know? And you kind of have a second.
I risk gravity to my butt.
And he asks you, "Do you know when the magic was spilled and split from the heavens? You are intelligent. You did go to school. I would say that your character doesn't really know all of the lore from this." And he kind of says, "The heavens were split and destroyed when Mistra, who was one of the most powerful magical gods, was destroyed. And it is my shame that I destroyed her. Her magic spilled out from the heavens and cascaded across your land in wild, chaotic waves. The magic plagued your world. Your ancestors corrected this by condensing each of these magical types and spells into orbs that locked this chaotic magic away. Each of these orbs was hidden away and sealed. A man sought the magic for himself, and he tricked the guardians of this magic to give it to him. The power corrupted him, body and mind. He became the creature Qui-Goth. When he was finally destroyed, each of these orbs were dispersed and hidden all over the world in the hopes that no one would ever be able to gain that level of power again. I can feel the chaos of Mistra's magic returning. The balance between the pure magic and the chaotic magic is tilting. I come to you now because I need a champion. Someone to go to the mortal plane, contain the orbs before they fall into the wrong hands. A balance must be restored."
"If it is your will, it shall be done."
He explains that he cannot join the fight because the gods already think I am too powerful. If I put my hand in the ring, they will feel the threat and they will come after me. I have to stay out of it. Our laws prevent me from intervening. But I can grant you my blessing." And he goes to your shield and emblazons your shield with his symbol, and it kind of glows a little bit. So now you have a shield of warning. When you are ready, you can walk through this door, and it will return you to the mortal plane. You will age, you will fight, you will die. Are you ready?"
"A watcher is always ready."
"If you have anything else to say to him before you go, but the door is waiting for you."
"May I ask a question?"
"Of course."
"When you first saw me, you greeted me and said, 'Friend.' How can you be so familiar with one who is a worshiper of you?"
"I feel a connection. with anyone who understands and prays to their God. I feel a connection with you. I don't know if I ever hear your voice specifically reaching to me, but I will be listening from now on. And I can see in your heart that you are a protector and that you are a watcher and that you are pure in the mind and we see eye to eye. I need someone of your caliber.
You have my thanks.
This will be a long road, a lonely road. You won't have any of your comrades with you. I knew whoever would jump to this rampart so willingly would be a man who could do this job. Be careful of who you trust and who you share this information with. If they know I have a hand in your returning, it could tip the balance of the gods. Do you have anything else for him?
No.
You're ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So at this moment, you walk to the door, and it's a different door now. The door itself is no longer red. It actually looks like a painted black door. And it is a very nice looking door. And oddly enough, there is a flyer plastered onto it. It almost looks like a stage door with a one night only kind of thing on the door. And as you walk through the door and you step into the room, first off, your gravity pulls you in a way that you have not felt since you were a kid. You look around and you are in the lobby of a grand opera house. And then you're going to pick up and you're going to meet the rest of your team at the table at the opera house.
Well, if I'm in an opera house, I'm going to have to do something about this centipede blood.
And all the gookiness coming off of you.
A little bit. A little bit. Slightly embarrassed.
Also, everyone else is dressed to the nines, and you are in full plate.
Yeah, I'm in full armor with some centipede guts on me, a little bit of blood. Gonna need some... Does anyone have any baking soda?